Thank you so much for that scripture reading. It's great to be here today, my second Sunday. And I'm very thankful to each and every one of you. You've all been so welcoming, and I love each and every one of you, visitors too. So appreciative for the work that you're doing. It's very important that we support this work all over the world. We're going to be talking today about choosing the right way. And it's going to be quite a hot day today, so I think the right way is going to be to have your air conditioner on later. But when we talk about the reality, the ultimate right way, we know what that is. You're here today, most likely, and if you're not, we're going to learn about it, because Christ did such a great thing for us. Today's lesson goes right with our scripture reading, in which Jesus discusses the narrow way, the right way, and it's the gospel way. If you go on down there in Matthew chapter 7, we're going to read Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. This is Jesus speaking, Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. He says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So if you build your life on Jesus' commandments, when the struggles and the hardships and the things that are going to happen and have happened to most of us, I think all of us, in this life, when those things happen, you're on a sure foundation. That's why your house will stand firm, because you founded it on something solid. This world is not solid. This world is shifting. We've seen it change, haven't we? We've seen it change over the years. I'm middle-aged, and I'll tell you that I've seen it shift and change over my lifetime. It's not something that we can pin down, but the Bible is always the same. With God, there is no variableness. James 1:17 tells us that. Now, if you build your life on Jesus' commandments, you're sure. But so many today are building their life on other things, aren't they? On the world. Now, let's look at the contrast there in verse 26 of that reading. Notice what the distinction is there. The difference is not in hearing the words of Jesus. Both are doing that. Both are hearing what Jesus says. But in verse 26, we read that the person who hears but does not put these words into practice is like a fool building his house on the sand. When the storms hit, this house is going to fall. It cannot stand. Now, if you hear what God says, but you're not doing it in your life, you're building what they call a house of cards. And if you've ever done that, if you just touch that thing or if a wind comes by, it falls flat. You're building something that cannot stand eternally. It's not going to make it. You're not building your life well. The world may tell you that you're doing really well building your life. Maybe you're very successful in this world, etc. But the storms, when they come, they're going to wipe that out, because all of us have a meeting at the end of life, don't we? We all have a meeting with death, and after that, we're going to go to the judgment. Now, hurricane seasons prove what I'm saying here. We have a lot of beachside houses. They regularly get wiped out. They're not built on a sure foundation, and they're not in the right place in their life, right? And life itself has hurricanes. Many hurricanes. We've heard about some of them today. Some of them are storms. Some of them are tropical storms. And some of them are hurricanes, right? Full-fledged hurricanes. But if we have built on this house of rock, or built our house on this rock, rather, we're going to be okay, because we've built on Jesus, and He is the rock of ages. So life's full of choices. And the most important ones that we make are of a spiritual nature. We can choose the narrow way or we can choose the broad way. We can choose to be like the wise man who built his house on the rock, or we can choose to be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand, and it's up to us. God gave us free will. He allows us to make these choices in our lives. And daily choices, they have an accumulating effect. So one choice is added to another choice, and another, and another, and eventually you set a pattern, don't you? You get in a habit, as they say. I remember the old book, I think it was Psycho-Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz. This is a very old self-help book. And it said, 21 days to make a habit. I don't even know if that's true. But it starts by then, wouldn't you think? So, all of our choices build. Now, when we have this established way of life formed, it can be very hard to get out of it. So we need to make sure that we get in good habits. We need to get in gospel habits. We need to follow Christ. Because our eternal destiny at some point is going to be set. That will be it. That will be the amount of time that's left for us to make any changes that we need to. Now, what about choosing the narrow way? In John 14, verse 6, this reads, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, the narrow way consists of following Jesus and following Jesus alone. Acts 4, verse 12 says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." There's no other way to get to heaven. There's no other way to have your sins forgiven except through Jesus Christ. We dare not choose false prophets. And I'm not going to go into a particular religion tonight because I think there's false prophets all over the place. And if you turn on your TV, you're going to see them. Some of them preach the world, materialism. Some of them preach other religions. Some of them preach the Christian religion in a loose manner that's not doctrinal. And you can find those people. You don't have to look very far. In Jeremiah 2, verse 13, there is something called a cistern mentioned. And the Lord, I'm going to go ahead and read you this verse, but to follow these other false prophets, these false teachers, is like trying to make use of a broken cistern. Now, a cistern is a tank used to store water. Jeremiah 2:13, let's read that. It says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." And I've heard preachers say before that this is putrid water. These cisterns were filled. No, they didn't have any water. It was a broken cistern. It was useless. When you follow these other things, they are not able to do anything for you. But God can do everything for you. He is the fountain of living waters. So false prophets and false gods, they're like broken cisterns. They are completely useless. When you choose someone or something besides Christ, you sever yourself from your only means to reach God. And that's something we do not want to do. Without God, we have no hope. Now, we need to choose the true wisdom, and we need to not choose worldly, man-made wisdom. And there's plenty of it. Turn on your television. They'll tell you all the latest things that are right to do, all the latest things that are wrong to do. And we need to go back to the source, back to the Bible, the Word of God. Turn with me now to Psalm chapter 19, and we're going to read verses 7 through 11. This is a beautiful section of Scripture. Psalm chapter 19, verses 7 through 11. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. To seek only worldly wisdom, that's a vain pursuit. It is not going to work out in the end. Now, a certain amount of worldly wisdom is needed. We have to be able to go do stuff, right, out in the world. We have to be able to survive in this world. We have to be able to go to the bank. We have to be able to go get our hair cut. We have to be able to go do things that are necessary in this life. God gave us many blessings, and I always want to mention that, the wonderful blessings that we have on this earth. He gave them to us to enjoy, but they are to be kept in their place. We're not to worship the things of this world. We're always to have God at the top. If we do not have God at the top, we're doomed. Now, often those who pursue worldly wisdom, they have a very selfish view in mind, don't they? It's a very selfish thing. It's almost a worship of self, in a way. It's choosing what you want to choose to worship. It's choosing the parts of this that you like and getting rid of, or at least just not looking at, the parts that you don't like. But we can't do this because God is here. This is His Word. This represents His essence. This is Him. We must obey all of it. In Romans 1, verse 16, we read, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." So in other words, for everyone, it's the power. It's the narrow way. It's the right way. It's not a power. It's not one of the ways that we can get to heaven. It is the power of God to salvation. The gospel is God's only drawing power. But in spite of this modern man, they keep doing things. They use every conceivable means to get people into pews, to win, to hold members. It may be fireworks. It may be concerts. It may be a lot of things, but they will mold and shape this in order to get something out there. And I've got a lot of stories about that, but I'm not going to go into it right now, about what people have said. Almost the thought of quantity over quality. That's not the way God works. God wants you to obey. God wants you to follow His Word and to follow all of it. Now, what happens if we add or if we take away from God's Word? I want to read you four sections of Scripture here, and I think it's going to explain quite a lot. So, in Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, we read, "You shall not add to the Word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9. "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." So this is very serious. God is very serious about this. Revelation 22, verse 19. "And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." So we need to choose the Lord's church as it's laid out for us in the Bible. Not what trendy churches, I got air quotes here, are doing. Not what earthly churches are doing, but what God wants us to do. And that is the Lord's church, isn't it? Following what? A pattern. There is a particular organization. There is a particular work. There is a particular worship. And it's a pattern given to us by the Bible, and we can all look at it. We're very blessed. We have a Bible. We can all look at it. We can make sure it matches. We can go see the men of the congregation, the elders of the congregation, if it doesn't match, if we have questions. And that's something that we all should do. But we need to pattern ourselves after what God ordained for His church. So we should learn exactly what that pattern is. Then we should duplicate it. We should emulate it. We should make it a reality here on this earth. We should build it. And we should also maintain it. Now, what about choosing to be a wise person? Jesus said, a wise person is the one who hears His commandments and does them. Let's read that. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. That's what wisdom is. The world wouldn't tell you that, but that's what Jesus tells you. So it involves reasoning, and it involves making a response to what Jesus taught. President Lyndon Johnson, he had a favorite Bible verse that he'd often recite, and it's found in the first part of Isaiah 1, verse 18. It says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. He thought that if anybody would sit down with him, he could convince them of his way of thinking by reasoning with them. And I got to tell you, he was not using that verse right. But he at least was looking at the verse, right? So he was using the passage as though it encouraged men to reason together, to come and reason together, people reasoning together, says the Lord. But let's read Isaiah 1, verses 18 through 20, and let's consider it in its full context. Turn with me there, please. Isaiah 1, let's read verses 18 through 20. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are like red like crimson, they will be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So the context here shows that God's people were very sinful at this time. That happened a lot. But the passage is not indicating they were to reason with God in the sense of changing His terms of forgiveness. The reasoning together was man coming to God and learning from Him how to be forgiven. God is saying more or less, He's saying, come and let your hearts be open to what I'm saying to you. Now, that carries with it the need for sinful man to return to God. And God wants all sinful men and women, all the peoples of the earth, to turn to Him. And if they're going the wrong way, to return to Him. And consider what's said to them. In verse 18, the word used for scarlet there, that means double-dipped cloth. So not only had this been dyed once, it had been dyed twice. And that would make it even harder to bring it back to its original condition. Crimson was the deepest, darkest color of red known to man at that time. The words snow and wool there in verse 18, those are used because of their pure white color. Wool, which is first sheared from sheep, it's oily, it's matted together, it's yellowed, but after it's been put through a process called scouring, it is beautiful and it is snowy white. So the picture God is giving here is though the sinner be exceedingly evil, basically double dipped in iniquity, he can be holy and completely cleansed. And while you're there in Isaiah 1:19, it stated that if they would obey God's will, they would be blessed. So it's like the wise man who built his house on the rock. And there again in verse 20, if they refused to obey, they would be punished. Jesus said regarding the collapse of that foolish man's house that he built there on the sand, he said, and great was the fall thereof. And this indicates the calamity, the destruction that will come about if you fail to obey the commandments of Christ. It's what we're put here to do. So, our day-to-day choices are very, very important. And we should leave here remembering that. All of our little choices, they accumulate. They add up. We can choose the narrow way that leads to life, the biblical way, or we can choose that other way, often the way of the world, the way that leads to destruction. We can choose to be wise by obeying the Lord, or we can choose to be foolish by not heeding His commandments. Turn with me to John chapter 1. We're going to read verses 10 through 13. John 1, verses 10 through 13. It says, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So I want you to notice that those who receive Jesus have the right to become children of God. They don't have to. They have the right to. So I'm going to give you a little illustration here. In the state of Tennessee, as in most states, when you turn 16, you have the right to get a driver's license, don't you? So the state grants somebody that age the right to become a licensed automobile driver. But just because you're 16, that doesn't mean you automatically get a driver's license, does it? I know that. I got mine a little late. But just because they're 16, it doesn't mean they automatically get it. But there are certain conditions that have to be met in order to take advantage of their right to get the driver's license. First, they have to pass the state's written exam, right? I'm sure a lot of you remember this. Then you have to pass the state's driving exam. I remember this. There was a guy that notoriously failed everybody on the first time. And I did fail on the first time, so I don't know. But the truth of the matter is I was very, very nervous for that test. And I didn't get mine until I was about, I think I was 17, so I waited a year. I may have been 18, so. But I had to do it, right? I had to pass that. And that was in Kentucky, by the way, so it's a little different. I don't know what that means. But then you have to pay that fee, right? You have to pay a certain fee in order to get your driver's license. Now, just as a person who turns 16 has the right to become a licensed driver, the person who receives Jesus has a right to become a child of God. Just as one who wishes to become a licensed driver must meet certain conditions, the one who receives the Lord must meet certain conditions to become a child of God. Those conditions are laid out for us in the plan of salvation. And they're straight from the Bible. First, we need to hear. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read these today. Here, Romans 10, verse 17 says, So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when somebody says the plan of salvation, they're talking about this. They're not talking about something they made up. What's the second thing? Believe. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Third thing, repent. Luke 13, verse 3. I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. What about confess? This is the fourth one. Confess. Matthew 10, 32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Fifth thing, you got to be baptized. This one brings a lot of trouble for a lot of people. But let's read one example here, Acts 2, 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Finally, be faithful. Live faithfully. Stay on that right path, right? Revelation 2, verse 10, Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now, if you want a driver's license in the state of Tennessee, you got to pass that exam. I don't have any connections for you. You got to pass the exam. You got to go through those requirements. And that's a man-made government organization that we're talking about here. Just a man-made organization. So do we really believe that we have to give more obedience to a man-made organization than we do to God? Evidently, some do believe that. Evidently, many believe that. But I implore you today, do not believe that. Believe the plan of salvation that I just read to you, and there's plenty more verses that back up all of those. Believe that plan of salvation instead of believing what man tells you. I urge you right now to make your life right with God if it's not right with God. This is an opportunity. You're here today. You might not be here tomorrow. I might not be here tomorrow. This is the opportunity. Choose the narrow way. Choose the right way. It's the most important thing in any of our lives. If you have need of baptism or you have need of the prayers of this congregation, come forward here to the front row. We'll help you in any way that we can. As together, we stand and sing.